Iowa everywhere.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
In market for a great deal? Shop careers at Fairway. From the meat department to the bakery to the store floor, we're hiring. Full-time, part-time, careers for a lifetime. Apply now. There's more in store for you at Fairway.
Spring is here. It's time to start thinking about family fun in the outdoors. This is Chris Williams promoting my good friends at Plaza RV in Bondurant. I've now bought two travel trailers from this locally owned company in the past 5 years. It's completely changed my family's life. We love spending time in the outdoors, tailgating, and most of all, being together. Camping has been an awesome escape for us, and I would encourage you to think about it as well. Head over to their lot in Bondurant. They have motorhomes, travel trailers, truck trailers, fifth wheels, and more. Check them out today at PlazaRV.com. They're 100% locally owned. Tell them that Chris Williams sent you.
Nate Bargatze, the Be Funny Tour.
I mean, Chuck E. Cheese is rough. I don't know if you've been there in a while. They look like they're trying to go to business and they can't.
All new material.
They filed for bankruptcy and they're still open. They called Blockbuster and they're like, how do you get out? We want out.
Nate Bargatze, Saturday, May 18th, Wells Fargo Arena. Tickets available at HyVTix.com or the box office. Don't miss Nate Bargatze, the Be Funny Tour. Produced by Outback Presents.
Two guys, two Chris's, one network. Iowa everywhere. It's time for Two Guys with Chris Williams and Chris Hassel. Presented by Fairway Meat and Grocery from the Channel Seat Studios. Where? Everywhere. Live and always on demand at Iowa everywhere.
Welcome to today's show. It is Monday, the 29th of April, 2024. My name is Chris Williams. I am joined by Chris Hassel and Matt Van Winkle producing today's program. How are you today, Chris?
I see you guys haven't gotten it fixed, huh?
What's the matter with you today?
Iowa everywhere. What
Give
the hell?
Break. Cut this guy some slack, okay? He's doing the Taylor Swift stuff now. We'll get it fixed.
What do you mean he's doing the Taylor Swift stuff now?
Yeah, he's the new voice of the Taylor Swift station. I told you this last week on Sirius.
Oh, right. Okay, well, so he made a mistake, so we shouldn't have to pay him more
to fix it. It's not... I wouldn't have even known anything about this. I would never have even picked it up if
you
hadn't.
It's
really
clear. Iowa everywhere.
It's all right. It's just the way he says it.
It's not okay. Dude.
It's just the way he says it.
It's the name of our company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would be like a voiceover guy for ESPN mispronouncing a letter in ESPN. ESPN.
We are presented, as always, by Fairway Meat and Grocery. We're in the Channel Seed Studios. We got NFL Draft to get to. We have had a credible journalist photograph a fox sighting in Bondurant. We'll get to that. We need to discuss what
We're still on the foxes?
They're a credible journalist, award-winning journalist.
I'm just glad the fox is still alive at this point.
Well... For now, because this thing is becoming a menace. We have more details on that. We've got our Kelderman Manufacturing Bigger, Better, Bolder segment coming up. And then Pete Prisco from CBS, your taking shots at you, personal shots at Chris Hassel in his post-NFL draft column earlier this weekend. So we've got all of that to get to. We'll start with it because that's a local story, and I know that you're going to pick at Iowa State because of the Torrey Taylor going to the Bears. Pete Prisco writes, this is the guy who we've seen jab you on the air countless times on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports HQ. The worst pick of the Bears draft, they took a punter in the fourth round in Iowa's Torrey Taylor. Why? There are a million punters out there. Plus, that's a luxury pick for a team with only four picks. Did you take that as a personal shot from your nemesis?
No, because I know Pete, and this is how he feels about special teams. Like, he does not buy that a punter should ever be drafted, that a kicker should ever be drafted.
Yeah, I was pissed the Vikings drafted a kicker. That guy
is doomed. They grow on trees. He's always been that way. He thinks special teams accounts for about 5% of the actual game. So I think this is very much on brand for Pete. I loved it. And not just as a Iowa and Bears fan. I mean, Torrey Taylor is just different. Like, there's some guys that are different. Matt Araiza, different. And we're going to see him in the league this year, finally. That can make a big difference. I mean, we saw it with Iowa. He makes,
we did.
Now, I just hope the Bears' offense is a little better than Iowa's, and they don't have to play that way. But
that was my, could Torrey Taylor possibly be featured in the NFL offense like he was at Iowa?
No, you're right. You're 100% right about that. And if he is, then
Godspeed to the Bears.
Yeah, and it's
fan base.
Everyone's going to be fired soon, and Caleb Williams will be out of the league if that's the case. So you're right. It's not going to fall as much on him, but maybe, I don't know. Now you're making me second guess this thing, because every time he came on the field, he was punching from the opponent's 40-yard line.
Cornering. Whole point is he's phenomenal, and I'm not saying he shouldn't have been drafted. Like, I'm not making the argument, because he is phenomenal. He's the best punter we've seen, but he was kind of like, he was featured. He was your best player, Chris, and I'm not even being a dick. He was the most valuable player for the Iowa Hawkeyes for three straight seasons.
If it wasn't him, it was Cooper DeJean, but they kind of worked in tandem on the punt unit. You're right. They put him in positions to succeed. They never, unlike the offense, which was always in a horrible spot, Iowa always put Torrey Taylor in a position to succeed with, he always had great punting field position, and he was great at the coffin corners, and he had a great gunner in Cooper DeJean. So, God, you've actually made me second guess this a little bit.
Caleb Williams sent him
a text right away that Van Winks pulled up. Hey, you're not going to punt much here. I love that. I love that confidence from Caleb Williams.
This will be great until he starts crying after their first loss.
Who? Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams. I'm just kidding.
Prisco hates.
That was some of the hate on Caleb Williams.
Well, Prisco's one of those guys that doesn't like him for that. Like, he doesn't like that he cries after games. He doesn't like that he paints his fingernails.
That doesn't bother me at all. Like, why does it bother him?
He doesn't think quarterbacks, NFL players,
Prisco,
bottom line, should be doing that. Prisco is like 63.
Okay, so he's pretty old school.
Old school.
Then. Yeah, okay. That makes way more sense. Okay.
Yeah, I don't care that he paints his fingernails. When he cried after the game, I remember saying on this show, that actually shows me he cares more than some people claimed he did.
Especially on that USC team where it felt like not a lot of them cared. They were just about their NIL money.
Yeah, at least he cares. Because that was one of the knocks on him.
It's just, I feel, you're right, that Torrey Taylor is like a, sounds stupid. A generational type punter, is that possible? But
maybe
it there. I feel like we need to get like a real like football guy. Like I should ask Campbell this. He would. He loves his weird like long snappers and shit. Like he there. It feels like punters are always they have better stats and stuff in college because they're punting from the 5 yard line a lot more than that, so they can punt at 60 yards where it's like in the NFL you'll see their averages come down because like hang time and all this like weird stuff. And is Torrey Taylor, he's going to be a 15-year punter, there's no doubt in my mind. Maybe get Caleb Williams another offensive lineman. I don't know. That's what I thought.
And that's Pete's argument. They only had 3 picks, right?
Yeah.
They had 3 picks.
4 picks. This is their 4th pick.
Who was the other guy? Oh, they did get an offensive lineman, didn't they, with the other pick? Third round?
They drafted Taylor in the 4th round, so yeah, something like that. Yeah.
They got somebody in the 3rd round that I thought was an offensive lineman.
I loved their pick at 9. That was a great pick.
I did, too.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Loved it.
And there was a lot of talk that they were going to go with an edge rusher, and I always wanted them to get Roma Dunze, and he fell to them, and I love it. Like, Thursday as a Bears fan was the best day to be a Bears fan in probably almost 15 years.
Well, since
the last time they won a playoff game.
Well, Fields getting drafted was a pretty big day, I remember.
Not like this.
Moved up. Y'all were fired up.
Yeah, come on. You think people were as excited to trade up to 10 to get Fields?
When you guys got Trubisky, that was a big day.
No, it wasn't. What are you talking about?
I've had a lot of these days.
We had 2 top 9 picks. You get Caleb Williams and a huge weapon for him. That was much bigger.
You know, until your lame duck coach and GM get fired.
And yes, it was a Yale offensive lineman they took in the
good. He's smart
in the 3rd round, but yeah, they only had 4. So they had 4 picks total.
Maybe. And you got a punter, and you got your future. You got your franchise punter. This is great.
How about the fact?
I'm just being a dick.
And Iowa State fans can claim want, but nobody
cares.
Here
we go. Common troll Chris Hassel coming through, trying to beat Brent Bloom.
Iowa's punter is selected ahead of Iowa State's top prospect. And I've had, look at the 1,600 likes on that. And all any Iowa State fan is claiming is that nobody cares. Jake says, I've seen one person even talking about it, and it's you. It's not true. Almost every Iowa fan online is talking about this. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you guys are obsessed with the clones.
You guys might beat Iowa next year in football, and Iowa fans will come back with this. Oh, yeah?
Oh, you are out of control.
Oh, yeah? Well, our punter is more valuable than your best player at the next level. And how about a backup tight end who had his leg cut off? Also was drafted ahead of him.
I mean, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft and started in the Super Bowl his 2nd year. And that's at quarterback.
What's that supposed to mean?
That I'm just saying, like, what does the draft position actually mean if you're that far back? I think TJ...
It means a lot of money.
True, but you can go earn it. I thought, honestly, and you know I love you, I thought, oh, man, Hassel has got his troll hat on today.
That wasn't...
That's what I thought when I saw that. I go, Hassel's just trying to antagonize people.
Was less my own voice and my own feeling, and more the feeling of Iowa fans. Because I know, as soon as that happened...
Would your dad... text you that?
Oh yeah. Instantly. Instantly. And this comes on the heels when Cooper DeJean slid out of the first round, all these Iowa State fans start tweeting,
"For what
just wait, what's going to happen? What's Iowa going to do when TJ Tampa goes ahead of Cooper
Who was
DeJean?
Tweeting that? Who?
Several Iowa State fans.
Oh, stop it. Okay.
They were.
Can I make an intelligent point here real quick? I'll make an argument that DeJean and Tampa both went to really good spots for them. Much better than going to those shitty teams at the beginning of the rounds. Like, those guys will both have immediate success.
I agree. Yes. Yeah.
And
a lot
really
of it is
good
about
schemes.
Where you go, not when you go.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, though. The money, like, TJ lost a lot of money there as far as dropping from, like, the second round or the all the way to where he fell with Baltimore. It was weird. Like, a lot of people were comparing it to Lazard when he just fell out of the draft. And that one, like, it kind of surprised me, but it wasn't all shocking when you dug a little deeper underneath the surface. Like, it sounds like agent was in play and stuff like that. The Tampa falling did surprise me, though, because he... we did a little digging, and we think we know why, but he's, like, a really good guy, like, works really hard. He was, like, a good student. Like, he's not a screw-up at all. He had an injury during a lot of this off-season stuff. He didn't participate in the Senior Bowl, excuse me. And obviously, he only ran the 40 at the combine, and it wasn't that good for him. It was like a 4.6 or something like that, 4.5 maybe. So, yeah, I was still surprised he fell that much because of just the measurables and, like, just turn on the tape. I mean, he's been
doing
it for 4 years.
Well, you guys were talking like there was an outside chance he could go first round.
Well,
Kiper
said
that. He would go second.
Kiper said that. I mean, Rob Gray interviewed Mel Kiper about it for Cyclone Fanatic like 3 weeks ago. I mean, quotes from Kiper, so that's what we were going off of. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in these.
Well, then you had all those offensive players go early in the draft, so maybe that pushed a lot of those defensive players back.
Dochterman said that too. I asked Dochterman because he covers the draft for The Athletic, and he thought that Detroit could jump up and grab him if he was available late in the first round, and he fell all the way to where he did. So it was a surprising deal, but I still like. I think TJ will be around a long time. I think he's a really good player. He's got that, like, length to him, and he's physical enough where I just feel like he's a guy who sticks, but we'll see.
This topic is not going away, I promise you.
This is
going to be, Iowa fans are going to reach deep into the bag, and this is going to be plopped out on the table.
The problem is that the Iowa State fans have scar tissue from this. We've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
I don't think it bothers us as much as you think.
We're not big draft people.
It clearly bothers you based on the number of people that have said, "This doesn't fucking matter at all, God damn it."
It's probably the fact that it was a punter.
Well, of course it's the fact that it's a punter.
Well, but it's not a punter, though. It's Torrey fucking Taylor.
The generational.
It's Iowa's punter.
It's the greatest punter in the history of the universe.
And all Iowa State fans are doing
is Ray fucking Guy,
proving,
okay,
that it does bother them by saying how much it doesn't.
I would hope that the best player in your program for the last 4 years would get drafted ahead of TJ Tate. I would hope so. Because if not, that doesn't say much about Iowa football.
It's a punter.
He's the best player in your program, Hassel. He's your most valuable player. He should go before TJ Tate.
But he was only the most valuable player because of the way Iowa plays.
Which is why it's a bad statement about Iowa. Bad pick for your Bears.
What was more surprising?
You lose either way.
What was more surprising? Tampa falling that far or Taylor going that high?
Tampa falling that far.
I would agree.
Oh, look, Steve Kemp, man of the people, honest. He says, "I admit it. It bothers me." That's your boy Steve. See?
I love Steve.
Just admit it. If you admit it, maybe Iowa fans won't bring it back.
I have too much respect for Torrey Taylor in that leg, man. Bailed your asses out of so many losses. Bailed Brian Ferentz out so many times. Speaking of that, he got a
job. That's Maryland's Brian Ferentz.
How did I miss this over the weekend?
You missed this?
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I wasn't online much. I was out coaching softball.
Oh, yeah.
Your
Turtles got their ass kicked.
It's a rough opener. Rough opener. We're doing a lot of laps on Tuesday night. I hope those girls bring their running shoes.
The farm team gets going tonight.
Yep.
Get them
ready.
We
got T-ball starting tonight. Maddie Van Winks, head coach.
Can we bring Brian Ferentz in?
Well, no.
He is.
He's not touching
turtles.
Our team. So what? He's in. Like, this seems like a decent spot for him, but like, what in Maryland? Like, they're like, you know what? We should bring in this guy who's coordinated the worst offense potentially in the history of college football to come and analyze our offense.
Yeah.
Seems like an odd choice.
It doesn't look great on paper if you're Maryland to bring in Brian Ferentz as an offensive analyst after leading arguably the worst offenses we've ever seen in major college football. We don't know exactly what he'll be doing. Basically, when you're an analyst, you're just kind of you do whatever the head coach says. Like, head coach will send you out to do something, you'll do it. Like, I hope he's focusing more on the offensive line because he's a good offensive line coach. He is. He shouldn't be touching anything that involves a quarterback or a wide receiver. But he's a good offensive line coach. I'm actually kind of surprised he didn't get an offensive line job somewhere.
Do you think Tory Taylor texted Brian Ferentz and thanked him on draft day? Hey, coach, I just want to thank you for having such a shitty offense the last 3 years. It allowed me to show off my skills and take my talents to Chicago.
It really did. I mean, Brian put him in great position.
One time after another, baby.
Yeah, he did. So I think there's a change in the rules this year. It used to be where the offensive analysts, the analysts could not be on the sideline during the game. I believe this year that changes. Now you might see Brian Ferentz on the sideline for Maryland, and Iowa plays Maryland at some point this upcoming season. And they get, you know, the money varies place to place. But this is Mike Locksley, the head coach at Maryland, was on the Alabama staff. And the Alabama staff and Nick Saban famous for bringing in analysts to resurrect their careers. What do you give me that look for?
I just like what? I get your point, but like did Brian, like, you're talking about like Steve Sarkisian and
yeah.
Bill O'Brien. This
yes.
is Brian Ferentz.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and make your point.
Well, I mean, they have rehabilitated a lot of guys and gotten them back on track, and it's led to jobs. Like
at the very least, Brian Ferentz has seen a lot in the Big Ten, right? And
there's no reason why he shouldn't be an offensive line coach somewhere.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's totally qualified for that. So maybe this is like this gives him, like, you do this for a year or two, and then Northwestern, well, Pat Fitzgerald's not there anymore. Trying to think of, like, a place where there's one of Ferentz's guys. And
Gus
then,
has a good idea. Maybe Maryland brought him on, and they're just going to ask him suggestions and do the exact opposite of what he suggests, which should lead to
a good
offense.
Seinfeld episode. My name is George. I'm unemployed, and I live with my parents. Hi, I'm Victoria. No, good for him. This will be like a step to get him back. It is interesting though, because remember we all thought he would end up on like Belichick's staff or something like that.
Maybe he would have if Belichick would have gotten a job somewhere.
Yeah, this is a far fall, but it's probably deserving and. Brian Ferentz has plenty of money in the bank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's not hurting for money.
Senior offensive analyst, Brian Ferentz.
That's the official title?
Yeah, it's what Maddie pulled up on the Maryland coaching staff. He's got a red tie on. He looks good in red.
I would love to know his day-to-day. Like, what are they going to task him with?
He probably just sits there and watches film, right?
And does what with it?
Analyzes it. He's an analyst.
And then what?
You analyze it some more.
Well, what does that do? Is he going to share the information with somebody? What?
Yeah, so like the understanding I have of these jobs is these guys do a lot of the game planning and stuff because the coaches are actually recruiting and they're on the field practicing. Like they have way more to do with the actual team itself. Mm-hmm. So like the way I understand these jobs is he literally sits around and will watch film and come up and he'll see like, oh, okay, we're playing Penn State this week. I really think that their left edge rusher sucks. Let's attack that side. Like, that's the type of stuff he'll come up with for Maryland.
I wonder what he'll say about Iowa when it comes time to play the Hawkeyes.
Well, nobody knows Phil Parker's system better than Brian Ferentz. So this is a strategic hire for Maryland.
That is true. I like the way you're thinking of this. You're making too much sense today.
You're making me rethink everything. Hey, what'd you think real quick? You're a Big Ten guy. You've seen him more than I am. My Vikings and McCarthy. Give me your, does this work? Because I could argue both ways. I could make a strong argument both ways and convince you either way, I think. What do you think?
I think finding a quarterback after the top couple picks is just so, is so much of a crapshoot. I honestly, I don't know. All I know is what people that are more in the know than me, what they're saying. And a lot of
in
our guys.
Know.
I'm in the know. A lot of our guys, like the Pete Priscos of the world, are really not high on J.J. McCarthy. Pete doesn't like his attitude.
He's got a bad attitude?
Not necessarily a bad attitude, just an attitude that he doesn't like. Like, he hates how, you know, somebody will interview him and like, okay, what's the first thing you do in the morning? First thing I do in the morning is I get up, I take a cold shower, and right then I'm already ahead of my opponents. I've already won the day because I'm ahead. He'll say
he
stuff
says
like that.
Like, yes. He talks about cold showers?
Yeah. Yeah.
We should ask McNamara what he thinks for me.
Why?
Because he beat him out at one point. Yeah, Kate McNamara.
True. Well, that first year, I don't know how much JJ was.
So I'll give you the pessimistic fan of me thinks that you got the fifth best guy. He didn't throw much in college. The Vikings will find a way to screw this up. They already did. The optimistic part of me truly believes
he's in a great spot.
That's the key. And that, to me, like, that matters more than anything with these quarterbacks.
That's what Brady Quinn will say. Brady Quinn is a fit guy.
Because he got put in a terrible fit when he got drafted.
Yes. So he kept saying about these quarterbacks, it's not necessarily like what their ceiling is, what we think they can do at the next level. We won't know until we see where they go. Like, it's always going to be really hard for whoever the Patriots were going to draft. Patriots are not in a good spot. The Bears are in a great spot. The Vikings are in a great spot. I mean, you've got the best wide receiver in the game.
And a young one in Jordan Addison. You got Hawkinson and a really offensive-minded head coach in Kevin O'Connell. So, like, that to me, it's like, I feel like most of these guys would be okay at Minnesota. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go on and be superstars.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if they can get J.J. McCarthy to be Kirk Cousins paying him the rookie contract, then that's a win.
Yeah, look what they got out of Kirk Cousins. I mean, he wasn't
And you were paying him $40 million or whatever it was.
Yeah. That is such an overlooked part of the draft process. And you mentioned it with Tampa and DeJean. Yeah, they slid, but they're in great positions now.
There's a reason none of these Washington quarterbacks ever stick. It's a terrible franchise.
Ownership.
It's an inept franchise.
Now, they have new ownership now.
Yeah, but the Browns were like that forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it would have been fascinating if Baker Mayfield goes to Kansas City and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes goes to Cleveland when Baker Mayfield did and see what happens to their careers. I mean, Mahomes may be the greatest of all time, so it's probably not a great example, but he also went and played immediately where he could sit behind Alex Smith and play for one of the best offensive coaches in the history of the sport and Andy Reid. Like, that guy was put in a perfect spot. Now, I'm not claiming Minnesota to be that, but man, like, this is a lot better shot than going to play for Mike Zimmer's Vikings right. 5 years ago. Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Like, this is a much better situation. So we'll see.
And the Bears have really never been in a better situation offensively than they are going into this season for Caleb Williams.
And they've done good work in free agency, too, like getting Swift and like stuff like that. Like, Williams has playmakers all around him.
Iowa Prep says the Bears actually had 5 picks. They made a trade back into the 5th round for an edge rusher out of Kansas, Austin Booker. So that's how much we paid attention to the draft over the weekend. I watched the whole first round. I didn't watch anything after that. I just kind of followed the second and third round on Twitter, and then I followed the TJ Tampa situation as well.
Once Tampa got drafted, I didn't pay attention at all. I took about an hour last night and read up on everything. I would have been in heaven Thursday night watching the Vikings have 2 picks, but we had that Zach Bryan concert, so I didn't really pay a ton of attention to it.
It's
we had it
something
on.
In the orange. Is that what he's saying?
He didn't play that song.
He didn't sing Something in the Orange?
No, it's a sore topic here.
What? Why does Van Wink have a white glove on?
So here's what happened with this picture, if you guys are watching on YouTube. This was a really odd photograph because of all the like light behind. It was like dark or light behind us. So I had to like filter it to even be able to like see our faces. And with that,
like
Van
I got
Winkle's,
a spray tan on my face. And
yeah, it's just a bad filter, but that was the only way that you could like see that, oh, they're at a concert because it was of the lighting situation.
It was a great concert. We had a good time with our listeners.
Yeah.
I love this
appreciate
picture
the event
because
center.
Aiden is so awkward.
The girl next to Van Winks looks like she's totally starstruck to be next to him. Look at her face. Look at
she's
how
fired up.
Happy she is to be next to Van Winks.
And then Aiden
is like positioned himself behind the mom and
that's grandma.
That's grandma?
I believe so.
Yeah, mom's to the right of her.
Okay.
Mom's.
Wow, that's a good looking.
And then we had our full group in the suite. Appreciate the Iowa Event Center having
my
us.
My God,
out.
That's a lot of people.
We had a good time.
So look at, go back to what is Aiden doing?
He's scared to be near that woman.
I mean,
I don't know if he's just trying to be like ultra respectful or if he's genuinely terrified of this woman. She's a sweet gal.
Because he's got his arm.
Nice people.
Extended just to reach her.
It now, reminded me of like the middle school dance where your arms are like full length because you don't want to like get too
close.
Well,
this day and age, man,
leave room for Jesus.
Too careful. Who's the Hollywood star that I think it's Keanu Reeves? He always makes sure to show both of his hands in every picture that he takes with a woman.
Oh, yeah.
He might even do it with a man, too. Because you've got these people.
Lieb says Aiden's doing his best Mike Pence impression. That's good. That's a good dig. Good dig.
Pretty good.
Hey, while we're talking about Hollywood stars, I want to go into the bigger, better, bolder. I need to give a shout out to a young woman here with Kelderman Manufacturing.
Bigger. Bigger, better, bolder. Powered by Kelderman Manufacturing.
This gal, her name is...
I don't think
you
can call them gals anymore.
She's named Doja Cat.
Oh, Dojo. Doja Cat.
Doja Cat.
That is Scott Spopker's favorite musical artist.
Really?
Yes.
Better than George Strait. Unbelievable. So, Doja Cat, she...
Doja
she
Cat. Got,
Doja
Not
Cat.
Dojo.
Dojo.
There's recently some like pictures or like some criticism.
Wait, did you you really don't know who this is?
No, she's a rapper. I know that. So she was criticized. There were kids seen at one of her concerts recently, and it caught like some flack. Like people being like, "Why?" Like, I don't know if she took hell for it or, but she. You know what? I like this public relations from Doja Cat here. Okay, because she went on the Twitter, and I'm gonna somewhat edit this because it's pretty. Some of these lyrics are pretty nasty. Like it's strong stuff. She can
say whatever we want on the podcast.
Yeah, but even this is even crossing the line for me. Okay.
Okay.
So Doja Cat says, "I'm rapping about eating." Hey, don't put that on the screen, Matt. She goes, "I'm rapping about eating, basically penis.
Eating penis.
And urinating on his V cut.
What?
Leave your mistake at home," referring to these people's children. She goes, "I'm rapping about bodily fluids. Why are you bringing your offspring to my show?"
What does that mean, urinating on your V-cut?
on his shirt. She's urinating on his shirt. She goes,
she
"I don't know."
About that?
Yeah. Yeah, she's all over the board here. She goes, "I don't know why you think what you think this is, but I don't make music for children. So leave your kids at home, mother blanker." I like it. She's getting out in front
That's
of it.
Wonderful.
Hey. This is like Barkley in the 90s. Like, I'm not a goddamn role model. I'm rapping about bodily fluids. Leave your children at home. Doja Cat, bigger,
in there?
Bigger, better, bolder, Doja Cat for some phenomenal public relations over the weekend.
How are kids even allowed into a concert like that? I mean, we don't even allow kids in a rated R movie. American Pie. Couldn't get into that when I was a kid.
Mm. How and remember the build up to American Pie 2?
Oh yeah.
I don't think I've ever looked forward to going to a movie more than that in my life.
Dojo Cat. I'm with you, man. I think this is great. What are you doing bringing your kids to a concert like that?
And this Dojo Cat is very selfless. You know, she comes right out there and says, "Hey, I don't want your kids' money. Don't buy them tickets to my show.
In fact, if you bring your kids to my concert, I'm going to urinate all over them."
I don't know why this story popped for me, but I'm like, this is refreshing. This woman's like, "Hey, I don't want your kids here. And you're ruining it for all the other adults that are here, you know, wanting to urinate on a V-cut."
She really has a lyric where she says she's going to piss on someone's
Well, she tweeted
V-cut?
It. That's a tweet from her. She tweeted that.
What? Why would? What does that even mean? Although well, I do know a guy that likes to be urinated on.
So he should. I mean, he would fit in well with Doja Cat. So bigger, better, bolder, Kelderman Manufacturing. Albeit Kelderman's a week from today. This popped up on Instagram. Albeit Kelderman's a week from today with a bunch of NASCAR guys. It's going to be me and the King, Richard Petty, are going to be there.
Wait a second.
We're raising money for Fight Autism. Kyle Petty charity ride, Kelderman's.
Wait a second.
What?
What is the lyric that you're talking about where she says she urinates on a V-cut shirt? Are you sure she's talking about a shirt?
What else would it be?
Mike
a V-neck,
says,
right? It's a V-neck.
It's not a shirt.
Rapping about eating.
She has a song. Song called, hang on. She has a song called Piss. And that's probably what the lyric's from. Do we want to hear said song?
No. No. Because that'll get it kicked off of YouTube. She goes, the exact quote is, "Rapping about eating eating a penis and urinating on his V cut.
I've never heard it said like that.
I'm just reading what she wrote, and I'm saying good for this woman. It can mean what it means. Don't bring your kids to her concert.
We're getting a lot of comments about this.
I need to know
V-neck.
What kind of a human would bring their kid to this concert?
I know.
Where they're like, oh, this is a good idea. Let's bring my 5-year-old.
That reminds me. Didn't Doctorman tweet something yesterday about... I saw people attacking Doctorman for saying there was a bunch of kids just running roughshod around him at an establishment, and he couldn't take it anymore. And then people attacked him for attacking kids.
I didn't see that, but I'll take Doctorman's side. Sight unseen.
Oh, absolutely. Get your kids out of there. Kids shouldn't even be able to leave their neighborhood.
They should be in their rooms or at school.
There should be an electric
or chasing,
fence
or chasing
around everyone's neighborhood.
Doja Cat, who do you
so
got?
It's not a V-neck shirt. It's the V-cut abs that these youngsters have. You know what I'm talking about? Because it kind of goes down into a V.
What? So she's urinating on his chest?
No. She's basically urinating on his privates.
That's perverse.
Yeah, it is.
Mommy, why is Dojo Cat singing about peeing on a private?
Brent.
This boy ain't right.
I was just going to say, is Bloomin' a Dojo Cat?
Brent, you're not old enough to know what people do.
Chris Moore says that Van Winkle would call animal control on those loose kids.
Oh, yes. The problem with Van Wink, though, is he'd be like, oh, yeah, the kids are fine. But with an animal, it's a different story.
We'll get to that fox here in a little bit. Who do you got?
My triple B we kind of already hit. I'm just going to go with the Chicago Bears, monsters of the Midway. Finally making their fans happy. Like, this is about the fans. This was a weekend about the fans. We'll see how successful this draft class is, but this was just a great weekend to be a Bears fan. Get Caleb Williams number one, and you get Rome Odunze. If you're an Iowa Bears fan like me, you get Torrey Taylor as well. The Bears notorious for not dealing in Iowa Hawkeyes. It always seems like they go to the Packers or the Vikings, but this was, I liked it. Give us what we want. This is what we want. Now let's roll.
Good. I'm happy for you. The Bears are a fast. We talked about this at the end of last season, that they're probably the most interesting franchise in football based on their draft stock and all that stuff. And they made the move with Fields, and they go with Williams, and I don't think anybody can argue that. And
yeah. I don't like that Williams is number 18, though.
What about that, just the NFC North in general, though? That is a loaded division.
It is.
There's not a bad team now. Mm-mm. Assuming the Bears get better. Like, they are all... I mean, that is a loaded division.
It is. You've got Jordan Love, who really took a huge step with the Packers. They look like a team that could potentially be a contender. The Lions already are. The Vikings, we'll see with J.J. McCarthy. And now the Bears. The Vikings might be... Are they going to finish last?
They might. Who knows? I mean, it's a lot on Sam Darnold.
I think the Bears are going to go out and they're going to just piss all over everybody's V-cut.
Hey, your starting quarterback was just carrying around the 49ers quarterback's jockstrap for the last year, so have fun with him.
This is true.
Hey, how about the Cyclones in the XFL? While Hassel's while Hassel's punter is getting drafted ahead of our best player, we got Cyclones tearing up the UFL slash XFL.
I was going to say that XFL is no longer a thing technically, is it?
Well, the Battlehawks Twitter is still called the XFL Battlehawks, so I'm going to call it the XFL. Well, it's the UFL, I think, right? The USFL joined with the XFL.
And Rocco Beck's dad is the coach of this team.
Yep. So Hakeem Butler went off yesterday, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mike Rose had 11 tackles, a pass breakup, and an interception. And Willie Harvey with 3 tackles and a fumble recovery for the Battlehawks.
This is pathetic. NFL draft weekend, and you're pounding your chest about Cyclones and the UFL.
Yep. Hakeem Butler's going to get a chance, by the way. He'll make a camp to him. Well, he got drafted by the Cardinals.
I think mentally wasn't ready.
I thought he was going to be really good. He's a big-time talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that he came out a year too early.
Wasn't it five years ago?
Yeah.
2018, I think, right?
Dude, just look at him, though. Like, it's hard to believe that guy couldn't be on an NFL roster.
It is.
When you just watch him, it's like, God.
2019 draft. 4th-round pick, 103rd to the Cardinals.
He got an opportunity last summer with like the Steelers or something and didn't make the team. So there's gotta be like, it's gotta be like how hard he's working or something like that, that we don't get to see.
That's a pathetic triple B though, from Van Winks.
You're
just playing right into the stereotype that Iowa State players, they just can't do it in the NFL.
Hey, let's do this. Let's do this, Sam Hart. That's not even true. It's such a thing from 10 years ago. let's do this Sam Hartman deal. I thought this was really interesting, this poll by you.
So the Commanders, according to Tom Pelissero, they gave former Notre Dame quarterback Sam Hartman one of the biggest guarantees among undrafted free agents. Get this. They gave him a $20,000 signing bonus. This guy's not being like facetious or anything. This is serious. $20,000 signing bonus and $225,000 in base salary guaranteed. A sign that Hartman is in Washington's plans for this season. So that is about a fourth of what he reportedly made last year at Notre Dame.
Wild.
He was reportedly a million-dollar guy at Notre Dame. And he's not the only one, right? I mean, these quarterbacks are all over now in college. But we think about that. The guy, just because he's out of eligibility, has to take a monstrous pay cut. And this is looked at as like a great deal in the mm-hmm. NFL.
It's another reason, too. Like that's a great point. And why we see these quarterbacks all on their 4th and 5th years, they just enter free agency. Essentially in college football now. Any of these tweeners, it's more like Dylan Gabriel is a great example. He went out and got his last college contract before throwing it into the pros because he's not going to be a first round pick when he comes out. He's going to make more at Oregon.
And it's a good thing for college football because it's going to keep a lot of these players in college
Absolutely.
Longer. These good college players. Because they know they can make more in college. Now, the question becomes, at what point does eligibility never run out? Now that we're paying these guys, why do they only get to stay for a certain amount of time?
Because it's still tied to college. Like, it's still tied
to... How much longer will it be tied to college?
Great question.
Don't you think that eventually this is going to become, okay, well, if Sam Hartman is good enough to play at this level and he can warrant this kind of money, why would he need to leave?
I think, based on my understanding of like these club teams, like assuming, just make an assumption in 5 years, it's the Iowa Football Club and the Iowa State Football Club. While they are private entities, they are still associated with the university.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, like, I can't go and play intramurals up at Iowa State if I'm not a student.
But you're not getting paid for intramurals.
Correct, but, like, in theory, you could. I mean, it'd be insane.
Someone
but, like,
is going to challenge this soon.
You're right. Like, it's coming, but I'm telling you, like, the technicality of it is that they are tied to the universities, and in order to, like, so Iowa State has a club baseball team, mm-hmm. right? It's completely independent. In theory, somebody could go and recruit and, like, pay guy, like, I would think. Couldn't, like, Fairway say, we want to sponsor the Iowa State club baseball team? And
that's going to be, somebody on the Iowa State club baseball team is going to be Van Wink's Triple B next week.
Oh, yeah. She had a real, he threw a no-hitter against the William Penn club team.
I think William Penn might actually have an actual team.
Good point. And this is another reason, like, why in basketball, too, you're seeing it. Like, all these guys are staying until they're, like, 25. Well, because they're not going to get drafted. They're making more here than they do in the G League. And it's the deterioration of college basketball, too, because it's like, if these guys were good enough, they would go. They're not skilled. A lot of these guys who are sticking around until they're 25 years old.
Sure. And this brings me to Iowa in the transfer portal. We're almost out of
time. Where's your quarterback at, Hassel? Where's he at?
I mean, doesn't the portal close on Tuesday?
Yep.
Something's got to happen here.
You don't have to have your quarterback by Tuesday. Whoever uh-huh. your quarterback is going to be has to be in the portal by okay. Tuesday. That's the key.
So
as long as he's in the portal, you could sign him like next week. But that whoever your quarterback is has to be in the portal by okay. tomorrow.
And there are a decent amount of quarterbacks in the portal now. So you're saying that Iowa doesn't have to make this announcement soon. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Good.
So
point taken.
Yeah, they just have to be in the portal. So Iowa's next quarterback will be, so like by tomorrow night, you're going to be able to look at your portal list mm-hmm. and group of those guys, one of them will be
my
Iowa's
guy, Colin Schley, still in there, uncommitted.
Schley.
Did you see this thing from Ferentz about the Swarm will put out these quotes from the coaches every now and then to try to drum up some support? And Kirk Ferentz put out this statement. I'm going to read it to
that,
you.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
NIL is a permanent part of the college landscape, and your contributions to the Swarm are critical in helping us compete in championships. Contributions to the Swarm not only allow student athletes and teams to succeed on and off the field, but they also support and raise awareness for nonprofits and communities all across Iowa. Signed, Kirk Ferentz. What stood out to you? Because something stood out to me that's, I think, is pretty funny.
Something funny? I just thought it was a strong statement about... You just go ahead. I just thought it was a strong statement saying, help the Swarm.
Okay, so I think... most coaches would say NIL is a permanent part of the college landscape and your contributions to the Swarm are critical in helping us compete for championships.
Yeah. I see.
In this it says in championships.
Yeah, I
because
see
when they get in championships, they get their ass kicked. What's been the final score?
That's
the
funny.
Last few times they've been in championships.
Okay, I see it now.
So that's the key. Just get us there, baby. Just get us to the championship. Yeah.
We're not making any promises.
We're not going to compete for the championship, but we can compete in championships.
Hey, you know, Bloom made a really good point last night. We were doing our Cyclone Fanatic podcast, and we were talking about Hunter Dickinson is coming back to Kansas for like his ninth year or whatever it is. Again, a guy, if he...
Hunter Dickinson, big Dickinson energy t-shirt.
Can I have some money to pay?
If Hunter Dickinson was good enough, he would just be in the NBA, right? Like, he's a good college player, but, like, he's not skilled enough. So, whatever. That's proving my point. him and Baycott are kind of like the guys I always go to. Bloom was saying that an interesting trend that he's picked up on in the NIL space is that a lot of these Big Ten and SEC schools, like we've talked about with Iowa, give much less to basketball. It's like they are going all in on, like, even like these SEC schools, like he was naming them off, like Vanderbilt.
You have to.
Yeah.
Look at all the, but you have 22 starters on a football team.
You
have five on a basketball team.
He was saying that the ratio of money, like that these Big 12 schools, just simple, like Houston and Kansas and not really Iowa State, but like they just value basketball more.
Okay. Basketball teams are getting more in relation in the Big 12 than they are in the SEC.
Correct. So like there's this huge financial discrepancy between the Big 10, SEC, and everybody else. But in basketball, the SEC and the Big 10 are actually pretty far behind because they're just putting no value on the sport of basketball at all. Whereas like, you know, you look at the ACC, Big East, and Big 12, they care about basketball in those leagues. Yeah. It's fascinating.
And this fascinating that goes stuff. Right along with the Iowa Hawkeye men's basketball team. And what are they?
Last but certainly not least, an award-winning photojournalist, Brandon McCauley, is now with the the Minnesota Wild. Apparently, I learned this yesterday that his folks live in Bond Durant. I didn't even know that.
And I didn't either, because he's a Nevada Cub. I thought his parents lived in Nevada.
Well, he posted this picture. He spotted Van Winkle's fox while he was in town yesterday.
You know where this fox is actually at, too. It's right across from the library in town. So I'm wondering if the fox was scheming with the librarian or something.
What if the fox was wearing eclipse glasses?
Yeah.
Whose yard is that? Cut your goddamn yard. Look at that.
Balloons.
Are you guys doing that No Mo May again? I swear to God, if you are.
I'm not. I think the
DNR or somebody cracked down and said, don't do this anymore.
I'm all about pesticides.
Bad for animals.
Absolutely. I'm putting chemicals all over my lawn. Not a dandelion in sight.
That yard. Look at that thing.
So this fox, I learned after our conversation the other day, there's like this whole Bond Durant Facebook page where basically there's like a civil war in town about what to do about this fox. Half the town wants to shoot it, and the other half the town's like, oh, it's so cute watching it run around. But this thing's like eating people's chickens and stuff, apparently, allegedly.
What?
This
what?
Fox, look, it climbed
the fox
onto this.
Bond Durant is eating chickens?
Yes. Yes. Allegedly.
Backyard chickens. And this person had a baby bird nest on their light post or the light in front of their house, and it came up and ate it. Son of a bitch.
Wow, this story took a turn. I didn't.
Yeah. This is like a real thing in town. Like people are really pissed off about it. And then if, you know, you'll get the guy come on and go shoot it. And then like it'll get the PETA people all mad. And it's like it's this whole deal. I'm staying out of it. I have no beef.
Yeah, I mean,
staying
just
out of this thing.
Let the wild animals be wild animals.
Well, we are in their territory. Like,
exactly.
This town really didn't exist.
Now, but I guess if it's your chicken, I'm sure you have the right to protect your stuff.
What about my dog? You don't care about
my
dog, but
you
care
dog.
About the chickens.
No, it's not going to do anything to your dog. What did you say your dog weighs?
10 pounds.
Well, if it was going up and trying to attack your dog, then absolutely, yes. I would go tackle that fox. You know what I'd do? I'd tackle that fox, I'd pin it down, and I'd piss on its V-slot, or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, I was getting really pissed at the people.
I told you about Mike Leach's book, right? Have I ever told you guys that story?
What? You probably have, but I don't.
The first chapter of his book, Leach tells a story about
how he tracked a fox or something from his house.
No, it was his first dog. It was his best friend. And this dog kept pissing on his backpack when he would get home from school It was something like that. The dog kept doing it every day, like marking it. So what did Leech do? Leech went over and pissed all over the dog. Just peed all over his dog. And the dog never pissed on his backpack again.
Really?
Yes. That's the opening chapter to Leech's book. It's brilliant. Because it sets up like, it's basically him saying like, you know, I think a little bit differently than most folks, and this is what you're getting into. It's brilliant. I'm not encouraging people to go piss on their dogs. It's just,
well, I mean, if your dog gets, you know, pissed on by Doja Cat,
I think that's good for today.
Weird show today.
We got a lot covered. We did. We hammered it out pretty good.
My dad was all pissed off over the weekend. He's just like, you guys, you never feature my, he calls them texts. You never feature my texts. It's like, oh, for what? All you do, you call Williams names that aren't even, you're not even allowed to call people names like that anymore.
Don does have a question, dude.
Well, yeah, I don't want this question. It's a he's asking about what we think about the governor that killed her puppy. Why the hell? I don't want to talk about that. That's terrible.
That's a South
Dakota
governor.
This is why,
governor,
we don't. What? I don't want to talk about it. We're not talking about.
I just saw a headline. I didn't read much about it.
I didn't either.
The dog was just annoying her and she shot it.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. He's either doing that, he's calling you names, or he's asking for free stuff. Oh, my mom chimes in. She said, maybe the fox just needs to be in a relocation program.
Yeah, get it in the transfer portal. Get it out of here.
That thing comes near my dog. I'll relocate it.
Send it to the Clarinda Academy. Right to the Clarinda Academy.
Oh, my God. So a V-slit. I've learned. What's it called? A V-slot?
V-cut.
V-cut.
Because I thought it was a V-neck. I actually thought that, too. What would you guys think about a Two Guys After Dark, like, premium Patreon pod where we don't talk anything about
Two Guys Only Fans?
Yeah. Where we do it with our shirts off.
Oh my God.
You can see my V cut. Get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday. Two Guys here on Iowa Everywhere.
Iowa Everywhere.